Always great to have this finely dressed young individual joining us, John Fischetti, talking about education as always. Good morning, John.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm good. Look, this week, before we get into our main topic, you've been travelling around Australia. You found yourself at Ayers Rock during the last week or so, didn't you?
Yeah, I've got to recommend to any of our listeners, they need to put it on their bucket list. Uluru is just a spiritual place. It is absolutely phenomenal in terms of history of the original custodians of the land, and also just quite fantastic to see the heart of Australia.
You didn't feel like doing a bit of rock climbing while you were there?
I did a little bit of scaling up some rocks on tours in the gorges and the caverns that they have there. It's a pretty special place.
Well, you've had a very special couple of weeks. You've also been in China having a look at how the education system is changing there, and I guess particularly some attitudes to education as well. What were some of the big things that have been uncovered there?
You know, China represents both the past, if you look at Chinese tradition and history, but it probably represents the future, because as 1.4 billion people go, so might the rest of us. 10% of the population of the world lives along the Yangtze River, just to give a spectrum of how size is amazing there. I was in the little city of Hangzhou, only 9 million people live there.
Nothing.
And Jack Ma, who's an amazing individual who invented the website Alibaba, which has transformed shopping in China the way Amazon did in the U.S., and actually soon to be here as it comes a little bit more economies of scale to ship products around Australia.
So how does that all work, Alibaba?
Alibaba, Jack Ma has a foundation spinning off of that website, which is basically online shopping, that he's made him one of the richest people in the world, to basically do what a lot of amazing people have done. He's trying to give his money away while he's alive. And in doing so, he realizes that the future in China is kids who are sparked by creativity and innovation and getting excited. That's not necessarily the way education works, particularly in rural China now. Kids are more passive. I call it sit and get. They come to school and watch their teachers work. And that's not what created Alibaba and Jack Ma's mind, and it's not what has sparked things like Facebook or Google or Apple or any of the innovations that of the last 30 years have transformed the whole economy of the world. None of them were invented in China. They're all Western inventions. And if you look at even Google Maps, which was invented in Australia, and some things that you get a sense, those came from people who felt curious and excited and understand problems and technology. How do we sprinkle more of that into the Chinese young people today is really their mission.
So how are they going about having that, bringing all those people in rural areas up to the same level, I guess, as the hungriness that seems to be in the cities at the moment?
Well, there's a real challenge because the divide between the cities that have
massive, isn't it?
Technology, they have the spark, they have the sort of Western mindset a bit. Very, very rural areas in China are as rural as it gets on the planet, and you're talking about very small schools with not a lot of infrastructure, lots and lots of sort of apathy almost. And the way they're doing it is trying to spark principals' imagination to get them excited. I found about half the principals at this conference of about 500 rural principals very uninspired by it. The other half really switched on. But more importantly, some teachers they brought along, they were young teachers in their 20s. They were the ones excited. They sort of saw the opportunity that it would create to get their kids excited about learning, because I'm not sure there's much to do in rural China if you're just sitting around waiting for the future. You're going to have to go seize it. And in Shanghai, Hangzhou, Beijing, there's opportunities. Out there in the western parts of China, not so much.
So China, 1.4 billion people, that's quite a few lunchboxes. Even if only half of them jump on board and sort of take it to the next level, I guess, what sort of implications do you think, John, that has for us in the Western world with China making such a huge shift, I would imagine, over the next 10 or 15 years?
No, absolutely right. And, you know, the influence on the Australian economy in terms of owning our port, or at least large portions of it, and a large number of buildings, a number of influences just in New South Wales. If the young people in China get as excited about learning as what's imagined, the system there will have to change. There's no way they will succumb to a controlled economy and a controlled political environment. So we really do have to become very savvy about the inner goings in the Chinese world, because anything that ripples in China affects the dollar, affects your super, affects anything to do with our ability to trade. And probably the future of the Asia-Pacific area is around China's ability to negotiate this. What they've done is allow an increasing percentage, maybe up to about 10%, to sort of have that low-hanging fruit of a Western kind of mindset. what when the other kids get excited about their learning happens, it's going to be very interesting to watch. I'm not sure it'll remain the same, and that could be a very bumpy pathway in the next 20 years in China.
It just can't remain the same with that in mind. I also kind of think of other countries that would be in a similar situation to that, the mm-hmm. likes of India, large yep. population, large poor population. Do you think some of those other countries could be on the fringe watching the likes of China at the moment and think, maybe we should be going along this road as well?
Well, if you look at Apple's moving the production of the new iPhone out of China to India, because I think they sense the instability in China. But you're right, India now has 300 million people that don't have access to potable water. That means the ability to get a glass of water that's fresh out of the tap or a bottle, and or have power. There's opportunities there for Australia to be economically supportive of growing up that real underclass to get them basic needs. But just like that, there's huge divisions in India, religiously, politically, that make it just as interesting to watch because it's very big, and to give everybody opportunity is a huge challenge. Australia has the ability to be in the driver's seat to help guide that, but it's going to be like a boat with lots of waves coming at it. We're going to have to hold on tight.
Interesting times ahead, John, and good to have you back in Newcastle yeah. with us again, by the way, as well.